The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
You blessed us through yesterday. You blessed us through this week. But Lord, down through the years, you blessed us and you kept us. Even when we were not so lovable. Matter of fact, the word reminds us that while we were yet sinners, you died for us. That it was the Lord who looked upon us when he said, when he looked upon the world, and he gave his only begotten Son. Lord, we say thank you. Greater love has no man than to lay down his life for a friend. Lord, we love you because you first loved us. And so now, dear God, we're able to give that love and be that love as we've been recipients of that love to give it to somebody else. And for that, we say thank you. Lord, while initially it may start out as a philios, brotherly love and eros and love of relationship. But Lord, we're trying to get to an agape love, an unconditional love. For that's the way you've loved us, unconditionally. Lord, you had to go to the slave market of sin to redeem us from some stuff that we could not redeem or save ourselves. And for that, we say thank you. Thank you. For being better to us than we deserve. For being better to us than we can ever be to ourselves. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, we just needed to take a moment to say thank you. We take far too much for granted. We just want to say thank you. And it's a blessing to be a blessing. So to be able to love someone and to be loved is to know that we've been loved by you. Bless someone right now under the sound of my voice. Speak to their heart and their minds and their souls right now. Let them know that you love them because you care. Someone right now is struggling in their heart, their mind, their spirit. Someone is struggling even to give you praise because of their circumstances, some things going on around them physically, mentally, emotionally, financially. But Lord, it's unconditional love that you love us and that we must love you and one another. Lord, as we've come to the hour, we now need to hear a word from you. Speak to our hearts. Speak to us in these days and times that we are living in. If we ever needed you before, surely we need you right now. Yes, on Tuesday and even before we will vote. But Lord, we need to hear your voice. Speak to us. Some folks say, well, I haven't heard him audibly. Speak to us through your word. Speak to us in our spirits. Speak right now. For you still sit high and look low. You are still on the throne. We serve a living God. As I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, dear God, hide me. As a matter of fact, hide us all. We all decrease, that you would increase in this place. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and glory. It's in Jesus' name, for Christ's sake, that we pray. Together we say amen. Amen. While you're still standing, the book of Acts chapter 21 is from whence the word of God will come. The book of Acts chapter 21 is from whence the word of God will come. Once more and again, I'm going to ask, similar to on last week, as really you should every week, keep your Bibles open. For while there are 15 verses that I'll reference. I'm only going to read a few, and I'm going to start at the 12th verse. We're reading from the New International Version of the Bible. It says, "The people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem." It says, "Then Paul answered, 'Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus.' When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, 'The Lord's will be done.'" Again, Paul says, "I'm not only ready to be bound, but also die for the name of the Lord Jesus." It says, when the people couldn't dissuade him, it said, "The Lord's will be done." For just a little while, as we speak on this first Sunday of November, November the 4th, 2018, as the Lord continues to use us according to his will and glory, we want to consider the subject, being willing to sacrifice everything for who you say you believe. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Being willing to sacrifice everything for who you say you believe. Over the past years, we have been striving and working together on bringing into focus the vision that God has for our individual lives and ministries, as well as corporately for our church. But as we move forward, my brothers and my sisters, as we move forward together, discovering the will of God for our lives and walking into our destinies, how many of you have discovered that visions often attract criticism and can be very difficult to defend at times? Huh? One of the reasons that visions, goals, or dreams are often criticized or discouraged is because they are often equated with change. Lord, help me to stand tall. Whenever you suggest or introduce change into a person's life, they will often stir up negative emotions that will be reflected as criticism, especially if you say you want to do better or get better. If you want to grow a desire to do something different to improve your life and or your situation, that might not go over too well with those friends or loved ones who would rather remain bitter instead of getting or doing better themselves. Lord, help me to preach today. Listen, being a child of God, trying to live up to your God-given ability in a world that continues to turn its back on God is not for the weak and cowardly. We live in an age when we are encouraged not to offend anyone. So many people are led by public opinions, the polls, the media, and certainly social media pressure than by anything else, it seems. While I know that God never promised us a rose garden, thus with all that we must face in our lives, I need you, if you haven't done it already, I need you to ask the Lord to help you not to buckle under the weight of subjective opinions, social peer pressure, or public approval ratings. Hear me today. Why is that important? It's important because the crowds don't have to pay the penalty when you fail to do the will of God. I'll say it again. I said, yes, all of us have a whole lot that we have to face in our lives. But even with everything that we have to face, you'd better stand tall and ask God to help you not to buckle under the weight of subjective opinions, social peer pressure, or public approval ratings. Why? Because the crowds don't have to pay the penalty when you fail to do the will of God. I don't believe, and I believe you'll agree with me, I don't believe that there's any greater thing that we can do for our Creator or even for our fellow man than to share with them the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you have to ask yourself, how did Paul cope with everything that he had to face? I want us to look at how Paul reacted to the attacks on him personally, attacked his character, and they sure enough attacked his ministry. I want to try to help somebody here today up under the sound of my voice. Listen, it's good to come to church, but we got to get in Christ. And we got to get in Christ because too many of us are living in crisis mode. Come on, somebody. So I'm here to try to help somebody today who may be experiencing some similar situations in their own life. Here in our text, we see Paul is about halfway through his third missionary journey. I need to have some Bible readers in here. And he's headed for Jerusalem. I hope you didn't close your Bible. Paul, you remember, is originally Saul. Saul was converted after setting off to persecute the very faith that he now proclaims. You remember that story back in Acts chapter 9. And upon his conversion, he was prayed over by Ananias. And that's through Ananias when God had prophesied Paul's mission and ministry. As a matter of fact, in Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, it says, "But the Lord said to him, go, for he is chosen. He's a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Watch this, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake." See, we love to talk about how Paul was knocked off his beast and how he was knocked down, but we don't want to talk about the suffering that was prophesied over his life. Thus, leading up to our text, Paul had already completed two missionary journeys, and he had fulfilled most of this prophecy from back in Acts 9. He had faithfully spread the gospel to the Jews. Then, when they wouldn't listen, he preached to the Gentiles. He had set up many churches in Ephesus, Corinth, and many had come to know Jesus through him. However, Paul had not yet preached to the kings. Remember the prophecy now. He had not yet preached to the kings of the Gentiles, and he had yet to preach at the heart of the Gentile land, Rome. Therefore, here in chapter 21 of the book of Acts, we see Paul's transition from missionary to prisoner. Now, that speaks to somebody right there. I'm going to put a pin in it right there. Paul's going from missionary to prisoner. And I feel like that speaks to someone right now up under the sound of my voice who feels like that you are a prisoner in your own ministry. Now, what are you saying, Pastor King? Because anytime you say ministry, the first thing people think about is church. And yeah, there are many ministries in the church, but don't forget, ministry starts at home. Marriage is a ministry. Singleness is a ministry. Parenting, grandparenting, being a caregiver, a student, an employee, etc. Those are all ministries. Then, of course, you get to the church talking about the pulpit ministry, deacons, ushers, choir, the music ministry, amen, the missionaries, children's church, etc. But what I said was, I feel like I'm talking to somebody who feels like a prisoner in their own ministry. Whatever that might be, right now. But instead of Paul's ministry ending now that he was in captivity, on the contrary, it's now beginning to take full bloom. So I need to tell somebody, you hold on. While you feel like you're in your struggle, you hold on. While you feel like you don't have anywhere else to go, what in the world am I going to do? You feel trapped. I'm telling you to hold on. You see, for over the next few chapters, you're going to see Paul speaking to the kings and the leaders of the land. Governor Felix, if you read from Acts chapter 9 leading up to where we are, speaks to Governor Felix and Governor Festus and King of Agrippa, just to name a few. And it seems as though Paul was to achieve more while he was in prison, come on somebody, than he did in the 15 years that he spent as a missionary. Teach, Holy Ghost. So what is it, or what was it? What did Paul do to ensure that he took his next step in his ministry and fulfilled the prophecy that was spoken over his life? First thing that you and I need to know and do in your ministry, whatever it might be, is number one, you're going to have to keep your focus. Keep your focus. Keep your focus. You see, when we read through the book of Acts, we see that Paul suffered for his ministry and his obedience to his calling. He was constantly under the threat of death from the Jews. He'd been stoned and left for dead, and his teaching had caused a riot. Here in Acts chapter 21, however, if you didn't close your Bible, when you read the first 9 verses, you actually find that Paul had a fairly tranquil time. I mean, look at the text. The first few verses actually sound like something out of a holiday brochure. What are you saying, Pastor King? I'm saying, well, Paul is sailing. Sails to Kos and Rhodes and Patera. He crossed over to Phoenicia, past Cyprus, then goes down to the beach to pray with the believers in Tyre. I mean, these are all beautiful places then and now. Amen. But it sounds as if Paul might have been on a cruise liner. You know how it is. Go from island to island. Amen. But I'm pretty sure that in comparison to the things that he had to endure, I'd imagine that this could have been classified as a time of relative tranquility and relaxation. See, for somebody, be careful, because if you're in a time of peace, there may be a storm out on the ocean. Amen. And that's why sometimes we need to pray that things are even as well as they are. Amen. See, in these towns, we found that Paul finding other believers, and he's praying with them. He and his companions had enjoyed their hospitality. And for once, we find that Paul was actually the one being ministered to and not doing the minister. Lord, help me to preach in here today. Paul is being ministered to and actually not doing the ministering. However, we soon find in the text that the time of peace for Paul doesn't last for very long. For in verses 10 and 11, there's a prophet there. His name is Agabus. Comes to Paul and he tells him that he's going to be tied up by the Jews and actually handed over to the Gentiles. He even illustrates for Paul, taking Paul's own belt, ties his hands and his feet just to show him how it's going to happen. Hear me today. To be given over to the powers of the enemy was usually God's punishment for his people. Those, when they were in exile, both Judah and Israel, usually did that when they were disobedient. But watch the text. Because here, as in the case of Jesus, God was handing somebody over to their enemies through their obedience to his will. You see, sometimes we think, well, we always in trouble, and it can be both ways. There's a whole lot of stuff. We find ourselves in predicaments, and we got to be honest, it's because of our own doing. But sometimes you can get in trouble just for doing the Lord's will. And if it's one place you don't want to be, it's in the hands of your enemy. Even David himself, he prayed many times in the Psalms. He said, Lord, I would rather be in your hands than the hands of my enemy. Because the hands of your enemy are going to be merciless. Even at least God will show some mercy. But it's possible you can actually be tried and tested just for doing the Lord's will. For to fall into your hands of the enemy is a terrible fate. It's the one thing that every soldier fears when he or she goes into war. But how does Paul react? I mean, is his faith taken back? Does he question God's justice or his will? Have you been there? Don't raise your hand. But have you been there? Have you questioned God? Lord, how come it seems like they and I am? Have you questioned God's justice and his will? Look at Paul's reply, however, in verse 13. He says, I'm ready not only to be bound, but I'm also ready to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul gave such boldness. What is it that made him so prepared for the fight? Even though he had just been in a time of peace. Well, watch this. It was because Paul kept his mind focused on God's will. See, we say it, but do we really mean it? We say, Lord, not my will, but thine will be done. Be careful. Because the Lord just might desire to do his will through your life. Are you ready? Are you really ready? See, Paul, he had to keep his mind focused on God's will and God's purpose in good times as well as the bad. It's just like the messages that have been coming out to us the past few weeks. And if you haven't done it, take some time to listen to again the message from last week about Jesus sending out laborers for the mission. Think about that from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 12. And we were reminded that Jesus himself said, I'm sending you out as lamb amongst wolves, sheep amongst wolves. It's not so much that God does have care and concern for the lamb or the sheep. Mm-mm. But what we were reminded of, he said, the importance of the mission outweighs the danger. Are you really ready to complete the mission of God? For Paul, it didn't matter whether he was being stoned or sitting on a lovely beach. Have you been thinking about sitting on the beach lately? I have. Punta Canas, here I come. Come on, somebody. But along the way, come on, somebody, might have to endure some stoning. Paul knew that his purpose was to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he was ready for anything that he might have to encounter along the way. First thing is we got to keep our focus, keep the focus. The second thing is we're going to have to count the cost. We say that over and over again, and it's a reminder because when instead of counting the cost, we're too casual. We're casual about how we come to church. We're casual about our prayers. We're casual about how we treat God and about how we treat God's will for our lives. We're going to have to count the cost. Paul knew the cost that he would have to pay, and yet he was determined to carry out. We see then, watch the text, because the text tells us that even the Holy Spirit warned Paul twice about the dangers of going to Jerusalem. Now, some folk would see that as going contrary to the Holy Spirit. No, sometimes the Holy Spirit was speaking to your spirit and say, "Before I'm letting you know what you're going to face before you get there. All right? I'm letting you know what you're going to face before you get there. So be careful what you ask God for. You looking at something and you praying, "I want that." You dreaming about something and you praying, "I wish I had that." And God even shows you what might happen and you still say, "But I still want it." The Holy Spirit warned Paul twice about the dangers of going to Jerusalem. Even after Agabus had given his prophecy about Paul, even Paul's closest followers begged him, am I in the text? Begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. But here it is, here it is, here it is. What was going on in the text, Deke, is that the group wanted to protect their beloved apostle Paul from harm and possibly death. Why? To keep them for themselves and the mission for their church. And the Holy Spirit said, "This is bigger than your church. It's about the mission. It's about the kingdom." And so while we're seeking to keep stuff for ourselves, our little ministry, our little bit of slice of heaven, God said, "This bigger than that. It's bigger than that." They wanted to keep Paul for themselves and for the mission in that church. They were like Peter. Peter, when the officials came and they wanted to arrest Jesus, Peter couldn't see God's will, the big picture. So the Bible tells us, I got Bible readers in here. The Bible tells us that Peter drew a sword trying to protect Jesus. Right? Trying to protect Jesus. But what Peter failed to see was that Jesus would achieve more in his suffering and death than he would throughout his life. Amen. That's why we got to be careful. God's not so concerned about our comfort as he is conviction and fulfilling his will. The same way Paul was only going to achieve all that God had set out for him by being willing to suffer even at the hands of his enemies. That's what I've been hearing these past few weeks. That's why God had to remind us. He says, "You don't love me like you used to." See, we thought it was an indictment. We thought, the Pastor Brown was telling us that we weren't faithful, that we weren't vigilant, that we weren't energetic in what we do. No, God said, "Because you really haven't seen everything I want to use you to do. And what I don't need are some folk." You remember Gideon? He said, "Listen, there's some folk that's dressed for war, but if they scared, tell them to go home." And the Bible says half of them left. And then we heard on that following Sunday about some giants. We all have some giants in our lives that we've been letting roam around, speaking at us. Yet we come and we sing and we clap our hands, and when God sends us out, we're not the same as when we leave on Sunday morning. Paul was able to accept that the Lord had already revealed to him what was going to happen, and Paul had counted the cost. From back in Acts chapter 9, listen, it must have been great to be prophesied over and told that he was going to achieve great things. I'm going to stop right there, because we love to talk about prophecy in the church, and we love to be prophesied over. And I get it. Boy, look like a preacher, walk like a preacher, even eat like a preacher, you're going to be a preacher. And folk laying hands and prophesying, and you think you're going to be a teacher. Young lady, you're going to be an engineer. You're going to be an entrepreneur. You're going to be a nurse. You can run like the deer in the cheetahs. You're going to be a pro football player. And we love to be prophesied over about achieving great things for God. And amen. But it's a whole nother thing when you are told the rest of the story. Because while it's one thing to be prophesied over about doing great things for God, and I thank God for it, but be careful, because it's another thing to be told that you're going to also have to suffer for it. See, some folk want the blessing. They don't want to put in the work to get it. Amen. They're not willing to sacrifice to get what God has for them. Fortunately, we give up too easy. Before we give out. I didn't say we quit coming to church. I said, but we give up. We give up on God. We give up on one another. But we want our seat on the pew. And God said, I didn't save you to sit. I saved you to be sent. Amen. But we got to calculate the cost. That brings me to my third point. Keep the focus. Count the cost, but you're going to have to make a move. Amen. You see, after he had been prophesied over, even here in our text, he'd been prophesied in this text, doom. But he stated he was willing to take anything for Christ. But that wasn't the end. You see, we love to say that too. I'm going to run to see what the end is going to be. We repeat that like parrots. I'm going to run. You ain't know what you said, but you heard somebody else say it and it sound good. So I'm going to run to see what the end is going to be. I'm willing to do anything for Christ. Okay. It's one thing to keep focus. That's good. It's one thing to keep focus, and it's a whole nother one to count the cost. And decide that you're going to continue on despite your consequences. That's good. But that's still another fact that Paul had to actually do something. You see, up until now, I'm teaching the text. You see, up until now, Paul had been traveling by boat, teaching his house Holy Ghost. God Almighty. He'd been traveling by boat, but now he has to go about approximately 64-mile journey by land. Paul, despite the distance and the troubles he was going to have to face, he still began his journey. Verse 17, it's not on the screen, but I hope you didn't close your Bible. In verse 17, we read that Paul did make it to Jerusalem. The Bible says he was actually welcomed by some Christian brothers there. And here we see that Paul is not only somebody who can say the right words or has the right attitude or intentions, but he's actually a man who does something. How many people do you know, yourself included, who have all the right intentions, have been focused in your training, have counted the cost and spent many hours preparing, and have no doubt that you could complete the task? Have no doubt. I could do that. You know, folks say, I could do that. Folk kill me with that. And then folks said they act like they could do it better than you. And they think it's easy. From teaching to preaching to singing to playing an instrument to being a leader to being married to being single. You know how folks say, if it was me, this ain't you. But you know what they say? If it was me, I would. Well, it's real big and bad for you to talk about what you would do if you didn't have your job when you got a job. It's real good for you to talk about how you would handle being married if you was married. And even as your singleness, child, if I was single, yeah, but you're not. You can't talk about singleness and you're not single right now. And vice versa, be careful. But you know how folk talk. But it's one thing to talk a good game. But it's a whole nother thing, because there's a whole lot of folk who talk a lot and they never get around to doing anything. Never. Paul, on the other hand, was a man who put his words into actions. Paul was a man who kept his focus, he counted the cost, and he made a move. But if you continue to read Paul's story here in Acts 21, say, I got to tell the whole story, because it tells you in verse 33 that Paul actually was bound with chains, and he actually was handed over to the Gentiles, just as Agabus had predicted. It was only because of the intervention of a Roman guard that actually saved him. But for many people, hear me today before I get ready to close, for many people, that situation would have been the end of the ministry. For some folk, as soon as they face adversity, they want to quit. There's some women, and there's some women who say, I would love to have a child. And before they get out of the first trimester, they're ready to have a baby because of the pain that you've got to endure. Some folk, they want to be married so bad, and within the first 6 months of your marriage, there's some folk who want to be in a school so bad. You get the acceptance letter, you get in, but now you got to do the work. And y'all got the nerve to say, I've been there. This is hard. There's some folk, they want a career so bad. And they feel like, if I had this career, and all they see is the lavish life. And they don't see the work that's got to be put into it. Listen, he was bound. He was chained. For a whole lot of people, that would have ended their ministry. But here's the teaching. It was at that point, Deacon Griffith, that Paul actually took his ministry into another realm. He actually took it to another level. Some of y'all need to kick it into another gear. Listen, the baby is here now, kicking into another gear. You went to the school now, kick it into another gear. I's married now, kick it into another gear. Huh? Wait a minute. Somebody that's still single or single again, yeah, kick it into another gear. You've been praying. You got the new car. Guess what's coming in 30 days? The bill. Kick it into. The Lord blessed you to get the house. Now you got to pay the mortgage, but then there's maintenance. But don't whine about it. Kick it into another gear. Because you already said, it ain't about me, it's about God, huh? You already thank God for the blessing. You've been praying about what you've been praying about. You got it. Thank God for the blessing. And kick it into another gear. No, you didn't pray to be sick. But you kick it into another gear, because God can still be glorified. He sees you through whatever it is you got to go through. I don't know if you've ever experienced this or not, but I'm a witness that God has a habit of making sure that people are their most effective when they are physically and mentally at their lowest. I'm a witness. And not because I've been so perfect, but because by the grace of God, I'm still in his will. Whether by divine or permissive, I'm still here. And guess what? So are you. because God still has a purpose for your life. Picture the same when we look at Jesus. It's at that point where Paul would have to rely on God's strength and not his own. As I get ready to close, after 130 years of ministry that we have just celebrated here at this church, and after 13 years of service that we'll celebrate for myself, having my hand on the plow and leading as the under-shepherd of this house, if you and I want to continue being effective and making a lasting impression in our own homes, our communities, on our jobs, in school, yes, here in our church, but more than that, for the kingdom at large, then you and I are going to have to continue to keep our focus. And you can't be worried about like it was when Peter was talking to Jesus, and Jesus was giving him instructions. I believe it was at the end of the book of John. He says, Peter, do you love me? He says, Lord, I love you. He said, then feed my sheep. He asked him again. He says, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. And he said it one more time. And Peter said, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. But then he gave Peter instructions, and it had to do with persecution. And then all of a sudden, Peter, the Bible says, turned away from Jesus, took his eyes off Jesus. The Bible says he looked at the disciple whom Jesus loved, John. And Peter said, but what about John? There's a whole lot of us who've said some what about. I'm suffering, but what about? And so-and-so seems to be so blessed, but what about? And Jesus said to Peter, he said, I'm paraphrasing. He said, my brother, if John lives until I come back again, he says, that's not for you to worry about. That's not your business, partner. That's my business. In essence, he said, you do what I told you to do. So if you're married, you do what I told you to do in your marriage and quit looking at other folks. You single? You do what I told you to do in your singleness and you quit looking at other folks. If you got children, you do what I told you to do. You quit looking at other folks. And if God has blessed you with any sort of responsibility, you do it to the will of God. We all got struggles. We all have trials. And we all have tribulations. But as children of God, we also all have Jesus. Fulfilled goals, visions, dreams, and ministries don't come easy. And you might have to suffer if you want that to make a difference. But you won't achieve anything unless you are willing to make a move. Guess what? The Lord sent me by here to tell somebody, it's your move. The question is, or the problem, the statement I want to make is simply this. Visions will simply become an unfulfilled ambition unless you're willing to get up and do something. It may be beginning with getting up extra early to pray, read scripture. It may be whatever it is. You might have to go back to the drawing board. But the question is, are you willing to sacrifice everything for who you say you believe? Jesus is still sending out laborers for mission. The question is, are you going? The doors of the church are open.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. we invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.